I vividly remember my first few weeks in grad school up in Syracuse. There were about 60 of us in our year, and we had gathered from all over the world to learn how to produce great TV. One reason I recall this all so clearly is because I was shocked at the message repeated over and over again by our professors. TV in the United States is not about making good television. It's about gathering audiences for advertisers. And everything else has to be put to the side for that aim. The Super Bowl is tonight. And even people like me who know nothing much about what's happening as teams of armored men rush at each other and then fall down, we will be watching because we enjoy the drama, the excitement, and all the hoopla. We'll have shots of opposing coaches glowering at each other. We'll see snatched views of celebrities in the best seats, of fans dressed or undressed in ingenious ways to get our attention. And we'll see one team win fame and even more fortune, and the other slink off the field in near disgrace. We'll also watch lots of ads, the average of which now costs $5 million for 30 seconds. A whole lot of stuff will be sold to us. I have nothing against the Super Bowl or any other televised spectacle. We all need a break from the tedium of February. But I can't help but notice that the values proclaimed in our readings are far from the hype of those promoted to us this evening by advertisers and promoters of various products and services. In fact, 86 Lumber, which has an ad about immigration, was forced by the NFL to tone it down because it was, quote-unquote, too controversial for television. Isaiah's plea to bestow bread on the hungry, remove oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech will not make much headway on television this evening. Christianity turns our normal viewpoints upside down. We are reminded again and again that God chooses not the sleek, the strong, and the successful, but the wretched, the weak, and the wanting. God is rooting for the poor and the downtrodden, not the powerful and upwardly mobile. We would all like to be salt and light for the world. But we can't deny that more immediate forms of glamour and glory are very attractive to us. Honor and respect are infinitely more desirable than being humble and ridiculed. Prosperity is much more alluring than poverty. The so-called ways of the world stand in stark contrast to the way of Christ. Psychologists tell us, but even more from our own experience, we know that we don't like cognitive dissonance, the holding of two conflicting messages in our heads, and we will almost always dismiss one of them. That's why, for example, smokers tend to dismiss information about the harmfulness of cigarettes, and why I switch channels whenever something about diets and dieting comes on. Because gospel values are often regarded as impractical and even impossible to live, we tend to salute them and quickly put them to the back of our minds. I suggest, however, that the way we operate most of the time, where money and power and prestige are the real top dogs, is perhaps not all that it's cracked up to be. We are now in the 73rd month of continuous economic expansion. And although crime statistics have come down, we have done little to resolve the problems of violence, abuse, and addiction that continue to plague our nation. I was startled to read a study that concluded that about 75% of the visits we make to the doctor are in some way stress-related. I am not for one moment suggesting that any of us should try to switch the world off and turn ourselves into hermits fleeing from our daily lives. I am proposing, however, that we will all be healthier, happier, and dare I say, holier, if we live closer to gospel values. So let's enjoy the Super Bowl with all its commercials. But let's also remember that the promises that our lives will be cleaner, brighter, faster, tastier, more convenient, more elegant, these are all illusory. And the only promises we can trust are the ones that God makes to us. God does not gather us to sell us anything. God gathers us here because we are his beloved children. In this Eucharist, it's time for me to stop. In this Eucharist and in the days ahead, let's ask for the grace to see ourselves as God sees us and love ourselves and our neighbors just as God loves us. I now invite our catechumens to come forward for dismissal. As you have heard, we are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Each week you stand before us as beacons of hope for our church.